Jesus stands among us, though we are scattered rather than huddled in one place. He says, "Peace be to you." Blessed is Christ, our Lord and our God. Jesus says to all, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Blessed is Christ, our Lord and our God. Let us worship God. Let us bow in prayer together. We praise you, O God, for your redemption of the world through Jesus Christ. We praise you, O God, for raising him from the dead. We praise you, O God, for all creation, for all life and all lives and new life, for all good hearts and faithful people. We praise you for your holy scriptures that feed us at all times of life. We praise you for your church that strives to serve others in response to your call to follow Jesus, our risen Lord, who urges us to believe even when we cannot see and leads us into resurrection living. Glory and power and wisdom and might and all thanksgiving be given to you now, sovereign Lord, and forevermore. Amen. This morning, the second Sunday of Easter, we greet each person who is viewing our internet live stream. We're glad that you're with us. It makes my heart joyful to think of those who are viewing either now or via the YouTube link, which is searchable on YouTube starting a few hours, 12 or up to 24 hours after our service. You can view the service on YouTube. I want to share some good news with the congregation that the session had an internet meeting in the middle of this past week, and we voted to apply for the payroll protection plan and the CARES federal government programs, and we will await the request for that loan. We also have applied for the Presbyterian Church Board of Pensions relief of dues that are payable on pension dues monthly, and we have already received affirmative response from the Board of Pensions that we will receive 2 months of pension relief, which amounts to about $6,000. So that's very good news. Then I also want to encourage everybody, please, to stay after the service and switch from this Facebook link to Zoom and use your invitation codes that you have received in email to connect with a Zoom fellowship. I've already got my coffee pot waiting on my desk with my mug and a couple of 5-day-old sweet rolls that are there too, so I can have coffee fellowship with all of you and to see your bright, shining faces, which we used to sing about in Bible school. So please join the fellowship at that time, and let's converse. Please refer to those icebreaker questions and get going before I get on. I'll be a little bit late. Finally, we encourage everybody who trusts and believes in Jesus Christ for their eternal salvation to become a member of Westminster Presbyterian Church. We place our hope and trust in Christ, and that is the thing that makes us Christians. If you would like to join the membership of Westminster Presbyterian Church, please contact me or one of the elders whom you may be familiar with or another church member, and you will be contacted and guided. And now let us continue our service and hear the words of St. Paul. He wrote, "Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Believing that inspires us to trust the God of grace in admitting our sins and shortcomings. Let us confess our sins together in prayer and also in silence. Let us pray. Living God, we confess that we look for the living among the dead. We want to receive forgiveness, but we are not ready to forgive. We want to see Jesus' wounds, but we ignore the wounds that others bear. Forgive us and give us new life, dear God. Embrace us in Christ's body, the church, so that we may embody for the world the life that death could not destroy. This we pray through Christ our risen Lord. Amen.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The past is finished and done. Behold, the new life has begun. In Christ, we are forgiven and free from sin and guilt. Praise be to God for the mercy and resurrection life we receive in Jesus Christ. We give God thanks and will live as free people. Alleluia. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
I've heard it said, and you may doubt me the way Thomas doubted the disciples in the setting that we are going to hear about in a few minutes in the scriptures, but I have heard it said by somebody, and more than one, that the most meaningful time of a worship service for them is the offering. It's the time when they can give symbolically and realistically back to God for God's grace. At this time, we cannot do that symbolically in our worship service. But in the privacy and in the faith of our hearts, we are able to commit ourselves to God's ministry through the church. And so I invite you to continue to offer yourselves to God at this time. Offer your gifts as you are able. Many are not able at anywhere near the level that they may have formerly given. But your gifts are blessed by God, and so are you. So is each person in the world to whom God gives gifts to share. And now, let us give our thanks to God for God's gifts to us and the gift of giving. Let us pray. Lord, we are grateful for your love and for the inspiration that we have to offer ourselves to you once more. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God from creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Once more, let us bow and ask for God's inspiration as we approach the reading and hearing of the word in Scripture. Let us pray. God, by your Spirit, inspire our hearts, minds, and lives with your goodness and with your grace, that as we read, the word in Christ may come again alive for us all. Ask it in Christ's name. Amen. The first lesson today is found in the Acts of the Apostles, beginning to read with the second chapter at the 14th verse, the second half of the 14th verse, in fact. And then we pick up with the 22nd verse. Fellow Jews and all of you who are in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will seek visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth beneath. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on the throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses to the fact. Here ends the first lesson. So lovely. So lovely, Taylor. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And those who aren't in this room could not watch the sheets and sheets and sheets of rainwater streaming down the windows of the sanctuary as she sang Deep River and Wanting to Cross Over. Just wonderful. The second lesson for today is found in the Gospel of John. We read in the 20th chapter, verses 19 through 31. Again, listen to the Word of God. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. When the other disciples told him that they had seen the Lord, he declared, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. They were telling Thomas a shaggy dog story that day. Before he had arrived, they had all gathered and were working out the details to pull a dark joke on him. They had talked it over and agreed to their tale. Even today, Christians are telling the story to others and get the same reply. "Oh, I will believe, only show me the proof." Last Sunday, Easter, we proclaimed the life-changing resurrection of Christ. And today, the second Sunday of Easter, we do the same thing. Those like me who value facts must deal with the truth that we do not possess in the world more than a half ounce of historical documents or evidence about Christ's life and death. Skeptics still declare the detriment to human life that's created by non-evidentiary suppositions. Dr. Oz and other celebrities still spew wellness woo-woo, and their commercially motivated misinformation was bunk before this pandemic emerged. It's bunk now, and it will be bunk after the crisis passes. We who understand the importance of proven, fact-based conclusions in every realm of life stand to remember that excellent tongue-in-cheek explanation of the so-called feeding of the 5,000, which states that totally unknown to the world today was the fact that on the day of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus had really been preaching to 10,000 people, but when they found out what was for lunch, 5,000 left. Only Christianity, of all religions, affirms resurrection. And that has often made Christianity an impossible option for many who have not lost the skepticism of Thomas and the skepticism that well and truly does and should characterize all intelligent human beings. Often, I've been on Thomas's side, and I bet many of you have too. Christian faith could easily be an unlikely option for us. Yet as it happens, God chooses his followers before they choose him. Chooses them in order that they might know Christ as their Lord and God. Chooses them so that they might choose God. I would, except God must have chosen me to believe. Anyway, if you don't believe in resurrection, perhaps you missed the publication of the now very famous letter from the Greenville County, South Carolina Department of Social Services. You know, before computers and the internet straightened everything out in the world. The letter was written to a dead person. Well, that's not unusual, honestly. Every church I've ever served has made that unfortunate error of sending a message now and then to someone who has recently died. Anyway, speaking of social welfare benefits, the letter read, "Your food stamps will be stopped effective immediately because we've received notice that you passed away. May God bless you. You may reapply if there is a change in your circumstances." Wait a minute. We really do need to blame that one on computers. No human is that stupid, right? Don't answer that. Resurrection is different from immortality. Resurrection is a gift from God. Resurrection comes by the power of God. Immortality says that we will continue to live with or without God's power or gift. Immortality is a Greek concept from the ancient mystical religions, which are being warmed over and served widely today, as they have been for decades and decades, as New Age religion, or whatever you want to call it, spiritual investigations, without any connection to the indivisible God of creation and redemption, recognized by Jews, Christians, and Muslims alike. But Christianity is a revealed religion, not a discovered one, as I remarked above. We cannot help but believe when God gives us belief. It seems sad, but we cannot help but disbelieve until God gives us belief. That is at the heart of the understanding of predestination in the Reformed churches, that God controls the spiritual destinies of people, not the people's actions themselves. And therefore, we can only affirm that those who do not believe simply do not believe yet. They will in God's good time. And perhaps we may figure prominently in their embracing of the word and embracing belief. But without the Lord around to show the marks of the nails in his hands and feet, it is now the churches, and I mean your and my, expressions of joy and wonder at Christ's resurrection that become crucial to others receiving faith. In fact, the church exists for no other purpose than to share this joyful faith. Now, with Christ, we too are raised, and raised through the communication of the word, the message, the communication of the gospel, not alone through human words, of course, but through some transmittal of the message. Could be art, music, could be scientific revelation, and I know you will laugh and find it hard to imagine, but it might even happen through a sermon. A famous English Archbishop of Canterbury used to say that Christianity is about much, much more than believing 47 impossible things before breakfast. In fact, one of the most devastating criticisms of Christianity comes from one of its most ardent ministers who, a long time ago, noted that the Christian faith is too often presented as something that is too small to be true. Is that why so many have learned to dismiss the gospel as incredible? What a damning critique that our faith is just too small to be true. In contrast, the light of Easter morning in which we bask every day is a light which shines through darkness more than one that banishes all darkness. The discovery of the empty tomb and the sightings of Jesus by more than 500 witnesses thereafter are experiences which living members of the early circle of the disciples have shared with succeeding generations. But they are experiences which must be perceived through death, through suffering, through pain and dying, and through God-forsaken crosses and graves. Are we amazed at this? Look through the tragedy. Look through the hurt. Life is not cheap. It is expensive. Ask the nurse practitioner who left her lucrative dermatology practice in Dallas a month ago to go to volunteer in an urban hospital in Queens, New York, where she comes home from a long commute every day, crying over all the death and suffering that she has endured, and yet still trusting that she made the right decision when she was young to become a nurse, and the right decision 5 weeks ago to volunteer to work in New York. Ask the food servers and bus drivers who are risking their lives for mere wages, but for more as well, and have landed on the covers of Time magazine this week. The Lord of life calls us to life without tombs, but beyond tombs and beyond their imprisonments, so that we may be free to live. Life is costly. Life is precious. And yet, living seems so awfully ordinary sometimes, especially living in faith. Faithful living is not a resurrection experience every day. When I was ordained, a good woman gave me a lovely framed plaque with these words on it. It said, "Why were the saints saints? Because they were cheerful when it was difficult to be cheerful, patient when it was difficult to be patient, and because they pushed on when they wanted to stand still, and kept silent when they wanted to talk, and were agreeable when they wanted to be disagreeable." That was all. It was quite simple, and always will be. Simple? Perhaps. But you catch the irony of that simplicity, don't you? In the context of such a simple and often mundane existence, faithful living is certainly not a resurrection experience at all times. Each of us surely has known those who fit the description and to whom we can look for an example that can guide us into the new life that God brings with the resurrection of the one who lives in us and in whom we live. New life. Resurrection life is part of the community that continues today, which began with the New Testament community's experience of the risen Christ. The community experience of the risen Christ is at the center of the tale about Thomas's unbelief. "Blessed are those who do not see me, but who hear about me from a faithful community and believe. The risen Lord Jesus Christ gave his life to his disciples. He lived in them and they in him, as we sing sometimes in that lively tune, The Lord of the Dance. And it still is true. He lives in the church, and the church lives in him still. If he had not been God incarnate, but merely a new prophet or teacher with a capital P and T, this building where I'm standing would be called a synagogue. And this morning would not be Sunday morning, it would be Friday night or Saturday morning. But Jesus was resurrected, not resuscitated, not reincarnated, and not immortal. St. Paul writes, "If Christ is not raised, then our preaching is in vain, and so is your faith." He also wrote, "And God who raised the Lord will also raise us by his power." And as well, said he, "God who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive again together with Christ, and raised us up with him. For by grace have you been saved through faith." God gives us all the gracious gift of believing without seeing, in order to be rejoined to Thomas, our ancestor in faith, so that we too can proclaim the risen Christ, my Lord and my God. And now unto God, who is able to do far, far more than anything that we would ever ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to God be all glory in the church by Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen. Let us reaffirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now, once more, let us unite our spirits in prayer and bring our prayers before God. Let us pray. O Jesus Christ, you are our high priest risen from death. You know our weakness and our suffering. And so it is that we make bold to seek your grace, your Spirit, to come again to us. With boldness, we pray for your church, that the mind of Christ may be in us, giving away the riches of heavenly glory, taking the place of humble service on earth. With boldness, we pray for our earth, that the whole earth may tremble this day, not with fear of destruction, but with hope of redemption. And with boldness, do we pray for all nations. Let them see your suffering servant, who vindicates victims of disease, of violence, of neglect, of warfare, who sustains the weary world with a word. And with boldness, we pray for this city in which we live, this county, all of East Texas, all of our state and nation. Let us stand with those who do suffer and who suffer as outcasts, who suffer as despised and forsaken, including prisoners and all who are condemned to death in hospitals and in prisons. With boldness, we pray for loved ones, that your face may shine upon the weak and all who spend life in sorrow, whose souls and bodies waste away. To you, dear God, we entrust our bold prayers, knowing that you alone can provide grace to help in time of need. In the name of our great high priest, who has passed through death and the heavens, Jesus Christ, our sovereign and risen Lord and Savior. Amen. And let us pray as Christ taught his followers. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Foot through the Red Sea water. death, nor the tomb's dark portal, nor the watchers, nor the seal hold you as a mortal. But today among your own you appear, as human knowing.
And now I charge you to believe where you have not seen, to go by facts and science in life, but in Christ to know that He is alive, risen forevermore, with you in your home, with us and the scattered community, and with all who are living in love in the world today. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.